The opinions expressed by the 1.5 doctors on this podcast are for entertainment purposes only. They are not meant to treat or diagnose. If you have a serious condition, seek medical attention immediately.
Excuse me, what Dr. Lee is trying to say is that we need to sedate the patient or he could go into cardiac arrest.
All right, I'll get the anesthesiologist.
Hang on a second, nurse. What we should probably use is marijuana. That'll sufficiently sedate the patient for surgery.
Marijuana? But why?
We don't have time for questions. We need marijuana now, as much of it as possible. Like a big bag of it.
But doctor, we don't have marijuana in this hospital. Shit.
Dr. Stephen Ogden. Dr. J. Perry.
Clinical Muscle starts now.
Great Scott.
The doctors are in. This is Clinical Muscle on Advices Radio Network. I'm your host, Dr. Vijay Puri, and along with me, as always, the star of this production, Dr. Stephen Ogden. Doc, how you doing?
Good morning, my brother. What's up?
Just getting up early, getting stuff done. It is 8 a.m. We like to do this early, knock it out, and then go train after this, you know?
Yeah, we're actually right on time today, and we had no technical pregame difficulties with the questions and stuff because we're pulling them right up on the boards now.
How easy. So easy. it makes our lives so easy doing that, you know what I mean? Well,
I don't know what took me so long to think about doing that, like an idiot. Like, I'm here copying and pasting them and emailing to you.
All I gotta do is open them up.
it gets time consuming. Yeah, because like we did, I'll sign on with you, and then we have to like chase down all these questions. There's 25 minutes gone. Then we get to bullshitting, you know, and it's like, we need to be recording this stuff, you know.
So we can see, you know, and it's easy because I can just sometimes I'd have to go on and be like, okay, which one did I leave off on? Which one? This one. You know, I mean, I know exactly which ones we left off on, so we just go to the next one. So it's pretty – yeah, it makes it so much better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you said – so what you do this morning? You're going to go train after this? What are you training?
I got to do legs. Legs is Sunday. I like to do like my cheat meal or cheat meals on a Saturday. That way I'm loaded up pretty heavily for leg training. And I do this specifically for one reason, because anytime I train legs, I get nauseated. It's just a matter of – what kind of severity I'm getting nauseated at. And if I eat, like, you know, even like a medium-sized meal in the morning and then go train, even if it's like maybe 2 hours later or an hour later for sure, I'll get nauseated to the point where I puke all over the place.
See, I know you mentioned that this morning, like, oh, I'm going to hang up here, go train. And I looked back and I was listening to him. Hold on, wait, you said you had just a shake this morning, and yeah, then you're going to record with me for an hour and a half or two or whatever, and then you're going to go do legs. I'm the opposite, dude. I could not – I'd be hypoglycemic. By the time I got to the gym, I would have to at least have another shake or – I don't know, a tablespoon of something.
Something.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I couldn't do that.
Keep your blood sugar.
Now, I do agree that I hate when this happens to me, when I eat, you know, a pre-workout meal or whatever, and then I get there and it's still there.
Like, I know. Oh yeah,
I fucking hate that feeling, and I'm like, "Oh, why'd I eat so much, or why I should have waited longer?" It just messes your, you know, you're like starting to feel good, at least for me. You know, the shit's just starting to get out of your belly. And you're almost done your workout. You're
that
I hate when I mistime it like that.
I can't stand that either. You know what?
So you make.
You know what's funny about that is you know, back in the day when we didn't know any better, we're just young and lifting and eating. It was like with a thing to do, and I hate to admit this, but was what we did.
I have a feeling I did the same thing. But go ahead.
Go to the fucking buffet, load up on food, and then go train. It was just the dumbest thing. It felt awful every time.
And you're like, I can't get a pump. It's all on your gastric. It's all around your stomach. All the blood's in your stomach.
And we do that shit like all the time. It was so stupid. Eventually, I was just like, you know what? I'm having terrible workouts. I feel like I shouldn't feel like this when I'm training, you know? So I figured it out. But, man, it was a rough go there for a little while.
Yeah, now you I thought you were going to say something else, but what I used to do, because this is when I – okay, so my whole story was fat boy, skinny fat boy, mm-hmm. extremely skinny fat boy to a guy who was trying to build muscles and thought that carbohydrates build muscle, right? So my thing would be I would like boil – I would like boil like a whole pack of spaghetti.
Yeah.
And literally be eating that in the car on the way to the gym with just like a little bit of like butter and Parmesan cheese on it. Oh, girl. You know, like the plain spaghetti, thinking I'm carbing up.
Yeah. Oh man.
And then I don't know if it made me sick or not, but the whole point is like I'm doing that and meanwhile I'm like just making myself fatter.
Yeah.
And it took me till I was like almost older to realize what I was, you know, what I was doing wrong once I started really paying attention. I like that's the funny thing about back then is like I don't know how I missed a point on protein when I was like just starting out when I was like 19 when I lost all that weight.
Yeah.
I don't know how I missed that point. I thought carbs would I thought carbs were the thing to do, like
the knowledge wasn't there. I mean, even like the bodybuilders back then, they didn't know jack shit about diet. Most of them were just genetic freaks who could just, you know, eat whatever they wanted to and they'd step on stage looking awesome. But the knowledge just wasn't there back then, you know? It's like you look at our – and there was no internet, you know, so there's no one to talk to about it.
Right, yeah. Right? The kids today probably can't believe that like we actually didn't have internet. I think I was – it was just before I went to medical school and that wasn't that long – no, maybe not that I'm lying. Maybe like – right after I graduated like from regular college that I remember having just getting dial up AOL. That was the only thing on there. Yeah. And I was all adult at that point. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
That shit's crazy. But yeah, I kind of did the same thing except mine was like plain spaghetti. I thought, oh, I'm going to eat this going here. It's going to make me get beast mode. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it'll make your butthole go beast mode. And that's about
it. Exactly. My waistline. Yeah. I was like, damn, the funny thing is, I just kept getting skinnier, fattier.
That's the stupid shit we did back then when knowledge was so limited. We just had no idea. You spend a lot of years wasted, man. Like, if I could go back, if I could go back to when I started training, I was 16, and just unload all this information, like, you know, just download it. Like, holy crap, man. I could maybe I'd be like, you know, maybe 4 pounds heavier of muscle now. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe four more lean down. Yeah, it's funny. Just even my kids, you know, it's like they don't even – they're not really into it yet. But when they are, they already know what more – you know, they already know more than I did when I was like in 19. Like right. they know you have to eat protein to build muscle. They know that you don't want to overdo it on carbs because if you know, they might make you fat if you're insensitive to or whatever. Or they're just used for energy kind of stuff. They know, you know, what's good fat and what's not, you know, if I put some almond butter in front of them and a big thing of fucking margarine, they would know that the fucking almond butter is better for you. You know what I mean?
Sure. Like,
I wouldn't know. I would just say that's both fat. So whatever. Mix them.
Mix them.
Mix that shit.
Oh, that's so gross.
You know what I mean? Like, just fucking eat it all. It doesn't matter. Saturated, unsaturated. We'll eat them all. Pan and fry some 70-30 beef in there too. Why not?
I think back then there was a huge conspiracy, like government conspiracy, to push all kinds of starchy carbohydrates because that's cheap. You know, that's cheap food, right?
Yep.
So if we start eating all the eggs and all the dairy and all the cattle and all the chickens and all the meats and it knew the actual information, man, we might have been fucking desolate by now. You know what I mean?
That's funny you should say that. I just said that to someone the other day. Excuse me.
That's great minds. That's what it is.
No, I just said that to someone the other day. Like, I can't remember who it was, but like a text. Like, they were telling me about maybe like something they were buying, an organic meat or something, like, and they're getting it pretty cheap. And, you know, I just said, isn't that fucking – but it was cheaper than like – because it was like fresh and everything, but it was still really expensive. And I'm like, isn't that fucked up how our world is? That's because it's too expensive for most people to eat healthy. You know, like it's easier to go in and buy 10 boxes of Cheerios.
Yeah, sure.
Down to whole milk, some white bread, some plain peanut butter, and I don't know what, a box of fucking Oreos, than it is to go in and buy organic, you know, chicken breast, go down the vegetable aisle and grab some fresh asparagus. Dude, if someone eats asparagus for vegetables, they're going to break the bank all the time. And most people just can't afford to eat like that, which is why some and I think that's a big reason why we have obesity problem.
Oh, for sure. That's definitely a hand in it.
I was about to get on my – see, I'm starting to get on my rant now. Again, I was doing some people watching while I was walking around to Walmart. And I'll tell you why I was at the Walmart in a minute because of my busy day yesterday.
Yeah, but right.
Yeah, I was at Walmart on Friday, and it dawned on me. And I'm sure it dawned on me, but I was just looking like obesity is normal now. Like, it's okay. Like, everyone's fat.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It's crazy.
It's fucking, I don't know where it came from. I see more people in them little buggies driving around than I ever have. And they don't, some of them look, you know, they got makeup on and fucking earrings and shit. Like, they don't look like someone with a problem.
Yeah, you're right.
Except for their legs don't, you know, they can't, their right legs rub when they walk and their knees hurt because they're 400.
Yeah, Jesus.
And honestly, that's funny you should say that about the conspiracy. It's still there. I mean, they make it expensive to eat. And listen, you know, most families in this country aren't making six-figure income, if even or more. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? There's more people who don't than that don't make money like that.
Sure,
than do.
For sure, yeah, and, for sure.
And you just go through the grocery store, and it's easier to eat like shit. My grocery bill right now is way cheaper because I'm just fucking, you know, I'm in pig mode.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. Go get some, you know, 96% lean beef. It'll cost you about, you know, $8 a pound. But, you know, you could get a couple of boxes of Cap'n Crunch for about $4, you know?
Or even grab the beef, you know, here, grab the beef in that roll.
Yeah, I like that roll. Fucking yeah. That roll is like awesome.
That's like 60-40, but it's $1.99 for a pound. You know what I mean? It's
exactly.
Like,
exactly.
You know, it's like, so anyway, oh, that leads me to another funny story. One time someone asked me about, like, what kind of food to eat, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I told him I eat ground turkey. Long story short is that a couple weeks go by and we were talking again about their meals they tried to eat. And they were eating ground turkey and they're like, yeah, it's pretty inexpensive. I get the one from the Walmart in the roll. I'm like, no.
Oh, that's Jesus. Like, that's like 85, isn't it?
But anyway, yeah, man. Fucking, it's crazy, isn't it?
Like, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Totally backwards.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah. So. You told me yesterday you've been having a mellow weekend.
Oh yeah, yeah. Wife is out of town. I'm just here taking care of the kids and my elderly Yorkie who doesn't know where he is or he's like completely like senile. You know what I mean? Like he doesn't know where he is. He doesn't know who he is. He's blind. He's deaf.
What in the fuck?
So like and he's one of my favorite dogs right now because he's like so easy to take care of. He doesn't give me any shit, you know.
He's like a baby bird,
and he lays there all day, you know. And he gets up, and I let him out. I have to put him on a tether outside, otherwise he's gonna get lost, you know. He's poor guy, he's blind and deaf, you know.
Yeah.
Poor guy. So I've been spending my days with him, and we've been sharing weed together. So
yeah, you know, that's what you were saying.
Hopefully, you know, these last days of his are a little higher than the rest of his life. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's what I was gonna say. You don't smoke it, but you could drop some tincture in his little bit of food and just make him.
Yeah, yeah.
Put some sunglasses on him.
Yeah,
we'll be chilling.
You'll be having a good time.
Oh man, well I had a busy day yesterday. I didn't go over the football. So Stevie started football practice with me, not his coach dad.
Uh-huh, that's right.
Cheer
dad, right?
Cheer dad. Oh, I'll tell you about that real quick too. But honestly, it's been so good, dude. I've been going to the field, sitting on the sideline. Now, yesterday, coach pulled me out there because he wanted me to help out a little bit because, you know, he was lacking someone. But anyway, besides that, he's been doing so good without me, dude. I'm sitting on the sideline. Like, I can't believe how good he's been, how good he's gotten at playing. Like I didn't notice that when I was his coach, because two things, I was up his ass too much. And he was always looking to me for approval, which was impacting his
performance.
Yeah. And he does that all the time. That's another reason why I stopped. But anyway, we got the schedule and we're having practice like every day. And we had a Saturday morning practice, which I never did for the kids. And maybe that's why we didn't win a game. But after that, you know, he was there and it was cool because this is what you talk about, the cheer dad thing. It was just pretty cool. Me and Chrissy, it was a beautiful morning out. We were just out walking around the field, doing a couple laps. You know, Stevie was outside full pads for the first time. They're having tackling drills. There's all the other football teams up there going on. And then our daughter got asked to be a cheer coach for the Little League. So, you know, we went and she's inside the cheer gym coaching a team.
Mm-hmm.
And so my daughter's in there coaching the team. Stevie's out. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that cheer dad hat that you saw me. I took that picture. My daughter got that for me, and as a little present. It's actually a Nike. It's pretty nice.
Oh, no shit. It looks like good quality. I thought it was funny.
Oh, yeah.
I was laughing at it, and then I looked at the hat, and I was like, that's actually the pretty cool looking hat. Like, you know, that's like fits good quality.
It's like, yeah, it's a Nike, and they I guess she bought it when she signed up for cheer or whatever. Uh-huh. And so, yeah, so I put that on just for her, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So what? Okay. So I know why you were at Walmart. You know, it wasn't. The,
oh yeah.
It wasn't the rolls and the tubes of meat.
Yeah. That's the rest of the. Yeah. So then after all that, we came home and we had a birthday party for Stevie, and so that's why I'm all carved up because I had the Walmart cake and that thing was banging.
I tell everybody. Everyone looks at me like I'm crazy, but I know food and I know cake. Everyone wants to go to these special bakeries to have shit done.
Delicious.
And they're always disappointed with the cake when they go and pay all this money for these extravagant cakes. I'm just like, man, go to fucking Walmart or Target or Costco, order a cake. It'll be the best fucking cake you've ever had. And it always, like, they always win. It's always a win getting cake from there. You know what I mean?
Well, listen, and you know how you order from, like, you know, Chrissy's Bakery.
Yes.
You know, you got to go and you got to give them a 6-month fucking list or whatever. You know, you got to give them a waiting point.
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah, we went in Friday night. They had the books out there. You could pick little decorations. He wanted a Sixers cake. Yeah, he's still a Sixers fan.
Yeah.
And he's hoping they're going to do good this year. He wanted a basketball cake. And they had a little book with, like, shit you could pick out, dude. And they had it ready for us at, like, 12 o'clock the next morning. And the fucking cake was delicious. And it was like $23.
I know. It's like so expensive.
Dude, that's
so
money
good.
Right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's money.
I'm a big fan of Walmart, Target, and Costco cakes. Actually, we've got Kroger here. I don't know if you guys have Kroger over there. But
no, we don't. But I know what it is. Or I don't think we do. I don't near me. Somewhere in Delaware, maybe. But I think
I know it goes. I know it goes past Ohio somewhere. But
yeah,
Kroger cakes are awesome too. Just awesome. Like and it's the same thing. You know, they'll bake it up in about a day or two max. You know.
Yeah,
no
is Kroger like a Walmart or more like a Costco or more like a just a regular grocery store?
No, it's a chain of it's a huge grocery store, but it's like it's not a supercenter like Walmart or anything.
No,
just groceries, but there's, you know.
So it's like an Acme or a Giant would be like around here.
It's like the most prevalent grocery store in Michigan, I'd say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, man, it was worth it, it was delicious, and you know they put a little, did a little fancy with a little basketball thing on. $20, you can't beat that. Go to Walmart, get your birthday cakes, man. Screw that shit.
And was it not one of the best cakes you ever had?
Dude, it's freaking banging. It's delicious. I don't know. I mean, I got no complaints. I mean, it was really good. The boys loved it. You know,
hell yeah.
They'll eat any goddamn thing.
I like it because, like, they're not like, you know, if you go to like a bakery and get, you know, order up one of their fancy cakes or whatever, it takes like 3 weeks to make. You know, like you get it back and it's always like it's heavy. You know, it's dense. You know. I don't know. Sometimes they're pretty good, but I've never not been impressed at Walmart or Target or Costco. If you order up one of those cakes, they're always so light and good.
It was really good. Yeah, everybody was like, wow, this is good. You know, where'd you get it from? We're like, Walmart. You know.
Yeah, exactly, man. They do a fucking awesome job. Love them. Big fan of cake. I'm going to have to get some cake later today. We'll see. I don't know.
Hell, oh, God, if you live closer, I got some left over, and I swear I'm not going to touch it. At least not before noon.
You can freeze that, you know? It'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it won't last long around here. I mean, not just for – I'm not saying me, but I'm saying, you know, between my daughter and Stevie, they'll be gone. They'll eat that shit for breakfast. My daughter, she's lucky. She's been staying, you know, she's got Chrissy's genetics, I think, with the skinniness, you know, with the, like, the metabolism.
Yeah.
And poor Stevie's got my metabolism. But thank God, I think he might have a 50-50 mix, because at his age, I believe it or not, he's a big fella already. And I was already bigger than that. And I tried to tell him. That's why, remember, we talked about that picture.
Yeah.
I was a bigger. But Haley, that girl eats whatever she wants. You know, she's like Chrissy was when Chrissy was young. She eats whatever she wants. And the thing is, it's not good though, because she's like, I'll go downstairs and she'll be eating a fucking bag of Doritos. I'm like, wait, you know it's 12, you know, 10 o'clock in the morning or whatever.
Oh my
god. You know how teenagers are.
Yeah. I didn't even do that when I was a teenager. I knew I was like, I can't eat that. I'll just be fatter. You know?
She knows better. She's just crazy. She don't care. It's like, yeah, I'm good. I just wanted a couple of these. I'll be good. Then she won't eat for like 12 hours. You know what I mean?
You know what's funny? I always thought about this. It's like, you know, pancakes are like a breakfast food, you know, and that's a fucking terrible food. You know what I mean? Like kids eat them all the time for breakfast.
Terrible.
You know? It's awful, but it's like these parents will give their kids, you know, pancakes and eggs for breakfast and all this maple syrup and shit. But they will shit their pants if their kid eats actual cake for breakfast.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's like, what are you doing? Just put that cake away. I'll make you some pancakes. You know, it's like, what's the difference? There's no difference.
Pretty much the same. You know, it's the same. But it's okay to eat four Pop-Tarts. But if you had a key piece of cake, they'd have a heart attack.
Yeah,
it's pretty much still junk food.
Isn't it crazy? That's so crazy. And like that has like stood the test of time. You can offend a parent immediately if you say that you fed their child cake for breakfast. You know what I mean?
How about this? to look at the opposite, my family, sometimes I'll have like, quote, lunch and dinner food for breakfast. Like I'll just wake up and want some chicken and have some chicken some, you know, rice. And they're looking at me like, you can't eat that now.
You can't.
Where'd that shit come from?
You can't eat that.
How about we're having, this is another one that was in my family. And my wife even does. It's like, ooh, tonight we're having breakfast for dinner. But why can't you just eat eggs at night? It's not like that big of a deal. Like, yeah. Isn't that? Yeah, everything's got its specific time.
Oh, geez, man, I used to eat a dozen eggs for dinner. You know,
like one of my favorite snacks.
Yeah, yeah, it's a hard boiled egg, man. Those are great. That's a great snack.
I love hard boiled eggs. They're delicious.
Yeah, I wish I could eat like eggs again, like the whole eggs. You know, I only ever eat the whites, but eggs are delicious. I wish I could eat. You know, just egg, the whole fucking thing. I don't want to have to separate the yolk anymore, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I still throw some in there now, but not when I'm, you know, not when I'm dieting, but I've been having some. I love whole eggs. If I eat whole eggs with my egg whites, I don't even need to put anything else on it. The yolk just makes it taste yummy.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff. I like it. Just a little salt and pepper. That's all it takes. Yep.
Oh, and then today, this is going to be another busy day. Today, I'm recording on the Cerebral Entertainment Podcast with them.
Oh, wow. Great. Cool.
Yeah. They asked me to come on there. I don't know why. Like, I mean, I don't know what they're going to ask me, but I hope it ain't too much crazy stuff.
Yeah. They're good dudes over there, man. They'll take care of you. They won't catch you.
Yeah. Well, listen to this. We were supposed to do it two Fridays ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he says 5 o'clock. So at 5 o'clock, I'm right here in my little chair with the computer. I'm looking like, damn, these guys are late. You know, I'm like, shit, man. We had plans like to go somewhere. We had somewhere to be at like 6:30, but he's like, yeah, we'll be on for an hour or so. I'm like, cool, no problem. 5 come by.
Uh-oh.
5:15. I'm like, fuck, we can't. 5:30. So I text him. I'm like, yo, are you guys ready? He's like, yeah, we'll be ready right on time.
Right on time.
Like, didn't you say 5 o'clock? He's like, yeah, it's, 4:40, 4:15. I'm no, I'm in Eastern time.
Where are they?
Missouri.
Oh, Missouri. Yeah.
We didn't even think about that. Like, we were like, I'm sitting here an hour ahead of time. And then I couldn't do it because I had to leave. I was like, fuck, I'm sorry, man. We both were like laughing boneheads. But this time we're doing it at 4 p.m. Eastern.
Eastern. Yes, good. So that's 3 p.m. Central, right? So that's good.
Yeah. So I'm like, fuck, I was waiting up the chair. Christine's like, are you doing that or not? I'm like, I don't know. I mean, he just texted me 15 minutes ago. Was like, Doc, you going to be ready in an hour? Are you good? I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm ready. 5 o'clock, right? Yeah, okay.
That's awesome. Anyway,
isn't that funny?
That's
you mean, never had that problem.
You would never think that. I mean, just between like Missouri and here, you know? But yeah, hour difference. Like I said, my wife went out of town. She went to Iowa for this weekend. And that's an hour difference, you know. She gains an hour on the way over, and she loses an hour coming back.
I just assume everyone is on like Eastern time. I forget about that.
Yeah, right, yeah. Well, God forbid, you got to do a podcast with someone from the UK or something, man. You're gonna be all fucked up.
No, I'm gonna. I think I would pick that up. Hold on, 3 o'clock. Is that? I don't even know how much time difference that is. What's their difference? Few hours, right?
Theirs is either 5 or 6 hours. It depends where in England, I think, too.
Holy shit! Yeah. How the hell do you guys time that up when you did the Vicky podcast?
Oh, Don't Fear the Wait. Yeah. I don't know, man. We timed it up pretty perfectly. She's really good at it. She must be like a math whiz or something, because she was just like, let's do 3 p.m. your time. I was like, you got it. you're not making me do any math or anything. Yes, you got it. 3 p.m. my time. We'll do it. Yeah,
we're on a tangent here. But now that you said it, that's funny because it seems people from other countries know more about my country than I do.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Yep. Yeah. Have you listened to like some other like political stuff? And it seems like people from pay more attention than they pay attention to the United States. And I have no clue what goes on in any other country. Like I couldn't tell you anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, you don't watch the news or anything either. And I don't, you know what I mean? It's like the only news you're watching is who won the Tampa Pro this weekend. You know?
Yes. Oh man, is that amazing or what?
So yeah, man, Tampa Pro, crazy. What a great. I don't know who won the Open still. I think it was Josh Lenardowicz.
Yeah, I think that's what I saw too.
He looks crazy. He looks awesome. He looks so
and you know
crazy.
I follow his YouTube channel and I haven't looked at any of his videos for a while, but I mean I didn't even hear about him prepping or anything. It was like on the DL, I think. I mean, to me it seemed like that. I didn't hear anything about him lately, and all of a sudden he jumps in, you know, and he wins it. You know what I mean?
And wow, he looked fucking awesome too. Like, he was standing next to Max Charles. They were doing that, you know, that the final call out. And Max Charles is enormous and will just expose people's upper bodies, you know? And Lenardowicz was beating him pose for pose. I couldn't believe it, man. He's got that hardness about his physique that looks like it was just carved. You know, just carved out of like a stone or a granite.
Yeah, it's crazy. I saw his name and everything. I was like, wow, was he doing that? I didn't hear anything about him. But yeah, he looked great. But how about the Lunsford kid? You know, is that crazy? You just get your pro card, you win your first show. That's fucking awesome.
And look who placed second place.
I know, he's killing people.
Yeah, and in second place we
was the other young guy, right?
Yeah, he just turned pro at the USA's along with Lunsford. Yeah,
that's nuts. That's crazy.
Yeah, what's his name? I follow him on.
I know, we were just talking about this the other day. I forgot.
Justin something, I think. But yeah, he just, you know, he turns pro, wins the light heavyweight. I think won the heavyweights. Yeah, wins the heavyweights, turns pro. A week later, takes second at his first pro showing, and it was a stacked pro. I mean, all 212 like shows are stacked now. There's not a weak 212 show. You know what I mean?
So
to come out of there and place 1 and 2 just like that, beating Samuel Haddad and some of these other guys, are like, whoa, that's crazy.
Yeah, man.
That's crazy.
When we were talking about it and you sent me the picture, I sent you the picture, I'm like, how the fuck does that occur? And you're just like, he got blessed with the right mommy and daddy. I'm like, yep, fucking crazy genetics, man, that Lunsford guy.
Yeah, yep. It's like the gods reached down and touched his mom's belly and was like, yep, this kid is going to be a bodybuilder. And no matter what he does, he'll always be a bodybuilder, you know?
Yeah. He just looks at weights and grows perfectly.
That's it. Walk into a gym, grow, eat pizza, grow. It's no body fat ever accumulated, you know?
It's amazing because, you know, you look at guys like that and, you know, everyone, well, I wouldn't say everyone, but people who are bodybuilders, you know, the higher level guys, they're all working hard, man. I'm sure like they're all working hard. They're all eating what they're supposed to eat, you know, and even us, me, you know, nobody people who like to work out, you know, it's like you do all this stuff that you do and you work out and you train and you eat and you and you'll never, if you don't have, that's the extra right there. Mm-hmm. It's not the food. Everyone's eating chicken. Everyone's eating beef. Everyone's eating sweet potatoes. Everyone's having a cheat meal. Everyone's training hard. Well, maybe not everyone, but you know what I'm saying.
It's not the drugs either.
Everyone's,
you know what I mean?
Everyone's taking supplements. Everyone's doing this, that, the other thing. And you do it and you'll never look like that because you're missing one main ingredient. DNA.
Yep.
You can't inject DNA.
Nope. You can't change it. You can't do jack shit. You have what you have. You better work with that because.
And you know fairly quickly, I'm sure, fairly quickly. Like, you know, I knew fairly quickly that, you know, well, because I was a fat kid, that I don't have to, I would never look like I always wanted to. All I can do is have fun with it and look the best I can.
Yeah.
And, you know, but, you know, that genetic component is always. What's the magic? The magic is what your parents gave you. That's going to be the magic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're going to respond to food different. You're going to respond to tests different. You're going to respond to freaking creatine different. Whatever it is you do is going to be different than me, mm-hmm. you know? And you're going to look like that.
Yep.
crazy. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yep. You guys could do the exact same thing for the exact number of years, for the exact number of intensity or whatever, exact supplementation, and you would always look different. Very, very, very different. Mm-hmm. Nothing you can do. So
I love that. I think it was – I can't remember. I remember somebody was talking about a twin thing where they did the exact same thing or maybe two different things or two same people. They did the exact same thing. I can't remember what it was, but – long story short is the person who had the genetics ended up looking like different, had way different responses. And it's just, that's the key right there, man. I don't care what anybody says. I know all the big guys train hard and all, but you could train hard if you just don't have the right DNA, and you don't know unless you try, if you have it really. Yeah.
Or you don't have to train hard that at all either, you know? You
can if you're really super freaked, if you really got the super freaky genes, you don't have to train hard.
You could be like Paul DeLette or Flex Wheeler, and they're like, fuck, look at Phil Heath, man. He doesn't really train hard. I don't think he's ever done a deadlift in his life, you know? I don't think, he doesn't, row heavy or do – I mean
– Yeah, they were just talking about that on Blood, Sweat, and Gear. I think Skip was saying he hasn't seen him in a long time. But to his knowledge, he's like, he does a lot of – he likes hammer strength and machines.
Yeah,
and
exactly. I mean, shit. If I did all hammer strength and machines, I would not look anything like I did, which is not impressive now even, But I mean, it would
give yourself enough credit.
It would be really bad. Like I would just look like probably just skinny fat Indian guy with the unibrow,
I'm going to the gym to take a protein shake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. In my polo shirt and, khaki pants.
Dude, that is a horrible stereotype, but it's kind of true. I've seen that. I've totally.
They did it to themselves. It's not even a stereotype anymore. It's like actual. It's actuality now. It's not
silly Indy.
Just a silly culture altogether. God bless them, but silly, silly culture. Great food, I will say though.
Yeah. Nah. Well, I won't know yet.
Yeah.
2 years. 2 years. I haven't tried it yet.
I'm telling you. I think when we get together for this next Arnold Classic here. I got to figure out, because there's actually a lot of good Indian food in Columbus, surprisingly. Actually, not surprisingly. That's a college town. And if there's
they got a lot of everything.
Yeah, so in a college town with a good medical program, you know what I mean? Like the medical school there, I think that's the Ohio State University, right? So, there's going to be a good medical school there. So that means lots of Indians and Chinese. So there'll be, lots of good Indian and Chinese restaurants.
All the smart people in the world, the Indians and Chinese people.
Yeah. But as I was driving through there to get to the Arnold Classic, I noticed even on my way over, I was like, wow, there's a lot of Indian places here to eat. So I may have to drag the Doc and McNally into one of those places and order up extra hot stuff.
Instead of the Waffle House, we'll go there.
We'll go to both. Definitely. You got to both. We'll go before the Arnold, we'll hit the Waffle House, and then afterwards – We'll go hit the Indian restaurant, and we'll need a toilet probably. So
fuck. We'll probably
just back to the hotel immediately would be
to let it all back out again.
Yeah, we gotta go somewhere. We gotta stay somewhere where plumbing is really good. So
yeah. Oh God,
it'll be good. It'll be good, man. Hey,
it's gonna be fun.
We should do our health topic this week. I think you wanted to talk about some vitamin D.
Yeah. I was asking you earlier, what did you think we were talking about? And I mean, that's one that always comes up, and, it really is super important. And the more we're learning about it, the more we're figuring it's worth. And people are, I'll tell you, I was just talking to someone the other day. I can't remember who it was. And this was a fit looking person. Oh, it was a matter of fact, it was a young guy, did a sports physical on. And his mom, they write down all their medical problems. And it said vitamin D deficiency. I look at the kid and he looks, normal, like healthy. I'm like, what? And he was taking 50,000 units, the replacement once a week. So his level must have been zero. Mm-hmm. And this is a normal kid. And I forget what happened, but they did some blood work on him and something was off. And I guess the doctor was smart enough, checked his vitamin D level, and it was non-existent. And so that just shows you, even a young, healthy kid who's probably active and out in the sun and doing things has low vitamin D. So anyway, yeah, I mean, I thought that would be something to go over, and you know, we could talk about, you know, doses and things like that.
Yeah, vitamin D is interesting because I think it has a lot to do with, well, obviously your turnover is going to come from the sun, but you have to ingest it. So it's like a two-step process.
Yep.
But here's the problem. A lot of vitamin D kind of just it really depends on the quality of your gastroenteric system, you know, your ability to absorb the medicine, the mineral, or sorry, the vitamin. Mm-hmm. So and that is a huge issue. As like this kid, he's probably not absorbing any of that. You know what I mean? Like 50,000 IUs of vitamin D once a week. That's not crazy. I've heard of that, people doing that before. Shit, I think that's
the dose that we do when we're really trying to get you back up quickly. Yeah, we'll do that for about 6 weeks, 6 to 12 weeks even.
I think Poliquin actually is one of those guys. He likes to do that once a week, 50,000 IUs once a week. But yeah, you know, if you have a problem, it may not be the quality of the vitamin D. A lot of the times it's your gastroenteric system not being able to absorb and utilize the vitamin, you know, and get it to where it needs to go.
Yeah, and then, you know, you're talking about absorption in the gut, and then, you know, vitamin D, actually, that's what it does. So, you know, you get it from the sunlight and you know, certain foods like our milks and our breads, you know, that's fortified with it. And it actually also, you know, part of the absorption in the gut is also calcium absorption. So then, you know, if you're not, if your vitamin D is low, your calcium is going to be off, then again, you're going to have bone problems, yep, nerve problems. And then the big one this day and age is obesity, you know, and insulin, you know, type 2 diabetes and insulin resistance. A lot of studies are showing that, you know, people, check them, their A1C's 5 point, let's say 8, you know, they're a little insulin resistant, blood sugars are running a little high in the morning, and you check their vitamin D level and it's 20.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And they, you know, they're showing that increasing the vitamin D level above like 50, that's what I would say, around 50 to 100, the higher the better, really. Vitamin D is going to be super hard to someone asked me about that too. How toxic? How could you go toxic easy? No.
No. It's virtually impossible. I mean, you know, your body's only absorbed so much of it, and the rest of it you're just going to shit it out anyways. There's really no toxicity. You know, I mean,
yeah,
you can have toxicity of like, you know, too much vitamin C. You may get, you know, fucking, you know, you may get kidney stones before you get any toxicity, but, you know, but it's a virtually impossible vitamin D.
Yeah. And then the other thing I was, you know, thinking of, was, you know, when you get your blood work done, we talk about, you know, we look at creatinines and liver function. Well, you mentioned how it's converted. You know, we get it from the sun, it goes into our skin, it goes to a two-step process. Well, part of that process is, it needs to be broken, you know, it needs to be activated through the liver, then through the kidney tubules, and we end up with, you know, 25 hydroxy vitamin D as the active form. Mm-hmm. If your kidneys and liver aren't, you know, working well from, you know, things you're taking, your vitamin D is going to be low. You're going to be, you know, if your numbers are off, you could have, your vitamin D is going to be affected that way because you can't activate it. It's going to be, you could lay out in the sun all day. It's not going to be, and you could take and eat it. It's not going to, you said gut health, mm-hmm, but also having healthy organs makes it, you know, important too.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. If you have high blood pressure, forget about it. You know what I mean? That'll be your body's not going to be doing anything with that vitamin D because it's got other things to worry about. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, supplement wise, you know, one of the things we're talking about is you go to the store and what to buy, which one to get. You want to get the vitamin D3.
The three. Yeah.
Yeah. They're going to have D2 and this and that. Get the D3. That's the active form. That's going to give you most bang for your buck. You know, and numbers wise, how much to take, you know, that's always something people ask. How much of that should I take? You got to get your levels done and see. But if you're in a quote, let's say normal range, I'd say it's considered 30 to 50 is normal. However, that's not enough. You know, if you're in that range though, I think for most people, I actually recommend 5,000 IUs a day, mm-hmm, you know, somewhere around there. And some might go up to 10, and get your levels done. And once you get up in that above that 50 level, you're optimal, you know, everything's working fine. You're going to have enough vitamin D, your blood sugar is going to be better, things like that.
Yeah. In order for me to stay within high normal range, I need to be eating, I need to be ingesting 6,000 IUs a day of,
okay.
Yeah. So that's what I found through my own blood work.
Yeah, I do anywhere from 4 to 6, you know, 4 to 5. I think right now I'm doing, I think I got, I think it's 5,000. That's what I'm doing a day now. Mm-hmm. I take that every day. And I don't know if it matters what time of day to take it or if you're fasting. I just take it all at once. I haven't seen anything that.
Yeah.
One more thing I was reading about too, which is interesting, and I never thought about this. You figure, you talked about sunlight and in certain foods. I read a study, and of course, I'm not a study guy. I'm not going to break down p-values and all this stuff. But anyway, I was looking through some stuff, and it was interesting. This one study I saw actually showed that the temperature that the it was fortified in certain bread. So the temperature that the bread was made in actually affected the vitamin D sort of fortification. In other words, if they baked it too high, the vitamin D level was low. So even though it may be in your source may not be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. That's where I think everyone should supplement with a good vitamin D product, a D3.
Yeah.
5,000 a day, I think, will do the trick, but you got to get your levels done and show it.
Yeah. Yeah. You can get it from like egg yolks and you, mm-hmm. and you can get it from like liver too. If you like liver. Yeah.
God, I hate liver.
I guess salt, some saltwater fish too. But fuck, I don't like any of that shit, I don't eat egg yolks because, well, here's the deal. I mean, that's a fat soluble vitamin, So, you're only going to find it in more fatty sources, right? So,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So,
fatty fish.
It's probably best, especially if you are watching your fat intake, you can't be, you can't entrust your entire daily, requirements from just food sources. It's not going to happen, Yeah,
everyone should be supplementing with it. I think that's one of those crucial. What supplements do I need to buy?
Yeah,
I would say that's one of them.
That's a need to have because here's the deal. It's like, your testosterone is,
that's the other thing.
You need to have your testosterone if you're a male, right? I mean, that's just the way it is. Whether you get it from outside sources or your body is making it in the inside source, you just need it. Vitamin D is very hormone like. It is a vitamin, but. It's
like a pro drug, really. It's like a pro hormone.
I mean, it's almost like thyroid in a way because it has its hands in so many different, chemical pathways. You know what I mean? Metabolic pathways too. Things like blood sugar, things like structural integrity of cells, fat cells, muscle cells. Control over because it works hand in hand with calcium too, like you said. If vitamin D drops, calcium drops. What happens then? You go osteoporotic. You start pulling bone or mineral sources from your bone.
Yep, and then your bones are weak, and then your muscles are weak.
Muscles are weak because calcium is a major contractor. That's a contractile mineral, a major contractile mineral. So, and guess what else is? Your heart. Your heart is a muscle.
Right out of my mouth.
Yeah. Your heart needs calcium.
Contractile muscle.
So if you got low D over a long period of time. You've also got low calcium, and that means your heart contractions are shit too. So cardiovascular health, gone down the tubes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and if your vitamin D is low and your calcium gets out of whack, calcium is terrible. It's regulated so tightly that even a minor increase in calcium can cause cardiac issues, mm-hmm. Cramping. God, if it's really severe, we call it tetanus, things locking up. And that's an issue with kidney patients. That's why I went back to the kidney thing. When people's creatinines are creeping up,
mm-hmm.
inevitably their vitamin D suffers and their calcium rises and they can get what's called calcinosis.
Yeah,
and you can see it. It's crazy. Like if you go in a dialysis unit to someone who's been on dialysis for a long time, even though they may be on things to reduce vitamin D replacement, things to reduce calcium, phosphate binders, and all this stuff, there are people who you can see these almost white deposits, if I should say.
Wow.
Especially African Americans, it gets very noticeable because of their skin.
Mm-hmm.
You can almost see these white deposits of calcium in their in their muscles, in their skin, because their calcium levels get so whacked out. And that's all related to their poor kidney function, and they can't keep vitamin D in their system, because they can't activate it. So they need supplementation. So anyway,
yeah, that's another thing. I mean, the darker you are, the darker you are, the harder you'll have a time with activating the vitamin D.
Yep, dark even from the sun, it's not gonna work as well.
Yeah.
And almost every tissue in our body just about has a vitamin D receptor for something. So it's super important. Yeah. We talked about fiber last week. I thought vitamin D, these are things that are just health you know, everyday things everyone should have in their cabinet of the, you know, you don't want to waste your money on stuff. Get some vitamin D, some fiber to start off with.
Yeah. For this, for these health segments that we're going to do, we're going to kick them off with the must haves, like just the must, the bare basics and why they're important and why people don't take them. I don't know, but they should. And not just bodybuilders, man, fucking everybody, you know?
Yep. And you were talking about cardiac. And again, I was doing some reading, more reading about vitamin D and stuff like that. And I saw another study I was reading through. And again, I'm not a study guy. I'm not Dr. Stevenson. He probably will break every study down and know, you know, I don't need, sometimes I'm reading these things and I'm like, wow, what? But basically, I just like to get the gist of things.
Yeah. Get an understanding.
You know, and something I was surprised about, vitamin D deficiency was even, you know, influenced like inflammatory markers, the things we look at for long-term cardio health, you know, like creatinine and C-reactive protein and all that stuff. In vitamin D deficient patients, they were like a CRP would be super high, and you give them vitamin D and it comes down. So there's another thing that's telling you that, you know, it's important as far as even cardiac health, you know?
Oh, for sure, man. Yeah, there's like this. I mean, we could make an entire podcast out of vitamin D. I think it's just, I mean, it's got, like I said, it's got, you know, its fingers in every process, almost every process, and hormonal cascades too, man. I mean, no, you know, you drop your testosterone can actually drop from having low vitamin D. You know,
absolutely.
You know, it's like it's that important in your body. It's got, you know, several, the number of processes you could write a thesis paper on. You know.
Yeah, no doubt. You Google that and you're going to find so much stuff and you're like, holy shit. Yeah, I should be on that. Yeah. You know? So that's one that I don't run out of. Unlike some of the other supplements, you know, I'll always have that in the cabinet with multivitamins, some fish oil and stuff like that. So anyway, I thought that was a good one to touch on. You know, it's important to want to remind everybody of that. And I say a good starting point would be anywhere like 5,000 vitamin D3 a day. You know, and then get your lab work done. If you're above 50, you know, 50 to 100, closer even to the higher range, I would say you're in a good point.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hey, guys. Scott McNally here.
And this is VJ Peary.
You guys know us from here at the Advices Radio Network. Well, we also have another show, Bodybuilding Nerds Radio. We've got everything from supplement reviews
to shout-outs,
listener questions,
and of course, our weekly bodybuilding podcast reviews.
So check us out every Friday.
Or whenever you feel like cooking or doing your cardio or basically wasting time with us.
You can hear us at bodybuildingnerds.com.
Also on iTunes. Bodybuilding Nerds, it's time to get nerdy.
What do you say we tackle some questions here from the boards?
That sounds good to me.
So I got to thank everyone, man. Everyone's been putting their questions straight on the boards. I don't receive any emails from the docs, so I'm just like, I don't have to keep track of it. This is awesome. So if you have any questions, you can go to forum.advicesradio.com and you go to bodybuilding and discussion, and then there will be a sticky there. It says clinical muscle. Click on that, and you can submit your questions there. You can always feel free, if you want to remain anonymous, we have no problem with that either. You want to remain anonymous, you can get us at clinicalmuscle@gmail.com. But like I said, man, it makes life a lot easier for us if we can just get these on the forums. You can actually, you know, you can be pretty anonymous on the forums too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just make up a bullshit name and, you know, you call yourself the Big O or whatever. Nobody's going to know. Just make sure if you do post, like we've had some people, which I love, posting labs into the forum. If you do that, just make sure your identifying markers are cut off. Just shred them, black them out, rip them off, you know, if you're worried about privacy. And even if we know who it's from, unless you tell us it's cool, we're not going to mention real names unless someone said, give me a shout. I've had people say that, man. You can tell them it's me. I don't give a shit. You know, like it's cool because most of the stuff we're talking about isn't that big of a deal anyway. We're not talking about, you know, Bill Smith has just found out he has HIV and, it's you were talking about hormones and creatinine levels, things we all probably have. That's not a super big deal. But again, yeah, man, this week we had no email questions. I did have some people email responses, you know, saying, thanks for the advice. I love the show, which frankly, man, I got to be honest. I have no, it shocks me when people still like the show. Like, I mean, I'm good. It makes me want to keep doing it, but yeah. You know, I'm just like,
it's fun. You know why it's weird? It's because we put it out there, but it's like, we would do this anyways, even if no one was listening.
Yeah, no. So it makes it like even more fun knowing people actually.
That's why it's surreal, man. People will message us all the time and be like, "Hey, we really like the show. Really love the show." I've even heard, "Hey, this is my favorite show." Can you believe that shit?
I've seen that. Scott mentioned something about that this week, and I was like, "You're fucking liars. You got to be lying."
That was my immediate response to it. I was like, "Lies. What do you want from us?" You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing is, really, what actually makes me feel good, man, is this is terrible, but it doesn't happen in my job in real life, right? When someone says thank you to me, "Hey, doctor, I appreciate your help," I almost get emotional.
Yeah, man.
Because today's day and age, and
nobody says
in the environment that I work in, urgent care, I'm not there to help you. I'm there for you. This is what people think. I'm there for you to tell me what you want because you read it on Google. And I'm just the one who put the work in, so I can put my name on the paper for you for your what you think is your codeine cough syrup and your Zithromax or your horn. You know, so when someone listens to me, takes my advice and says, "Thank you, I appreciate that," I almost get emotional. It's so rare. Believe it or not, it is rare if someone says thank you to me as a doctor. It's fucking crazy, dude.
That's fucking
doctors
crazy.
It's so different these days. I don't know how I got on this tangent, but I'm just saying, I don't expect anything from anyone. I went to school and chose what I want to do. But when someone does say thank you, it makes being there a little better. The 100 patients I saw that day, you know, because the other 99 of them just expect to get what they want. They come in with the diagnosis in their mind. And if the diagnosis isn't what they Googled or what their mom told them or their aunt who works at the doctor's office, then I'm a horrible doctor and I didn't do my job. Not because I actually knew they were wrong. But when someone's – so when we get these – I get more thank yous from anonymous people on a bodybuilding forum and feedback saying stuff like, "Dude, I went to the doctor with what you guys told me and actually helped." You know, I'm like
– that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, man, it makes me feel good because I don't get that in real life.
Yeah, jeez.
I don't get that in real life. But, you know, so anyway, that's, you know, thanks, guys. We appreciate it. We'll try to answer them the best we can. Sometimes we can't. We're only C grade, but.
We try. And hey, at the very least, hopefully we're not boring you to death, you know?
Yeah. Or maybe we should, because we do want everyone to have adequate sleep. So
yeah, that's true too. Yeah,
we can put you to sleep and get you in a good REM.
This is the podcast that makes you healthy. Yeah.
Could you imagine if you listen to Clinical Muscle then BNR back to back? That would be like taking Ambien. Sleeping like a baby.
Sounds like a goddamn waste of time to me. But yeah.
Sounds great.
We got some questions here from the boards. Doc, let's tackle this first one here. Hello to the infamous 1.92 doctors. 92 at Purdue, where I go to school, is still a B. Oh, damn. That sucks. I mean, that's cool that 92 is a B where he's going, but hey, I just got a B. That's great.
Yeah, damn right. There's almost two doctors here.
So he says, you still have some room for growth. Yes, I'll never be an A-plus doctor, so I'm cool with C, but B, that's the best news I've ever heard. I have a doctor-prescribed injectable 1 milliliter blend of, and these are all basically minerals and amino acids. I'll read them off: methionine, choline, thiamine is B1, so B2, B3, B5, B6, B12, leucine, isoleucine, valine, so those are your branched chain amino acids, those last three, L-carnitine, and chromic chloride, which is just chromium.
Chromium, yeah.
So he says, my question for both of you is, does the added branched chains break a fast, even though they are injected and not ingested orally? Let's just start with that one first.
Yeah, remember I said before the show, I was like, that's a good one. I don't know the exact answer to that, but my thought process would be taking it intramuscularly probably would bypass a lot of the processes that would cause that to give you. If anything, I would say it would be such a minute, small, like insulin spike that It's probably negligible. Yeah, I would say it's probably negligible. And I'll be honest with you, I know a lot of people, even oral branch chains, I know they can break down. I know, but I have used branch chains, not because I think they're great, not because I, you know, maybe at one time I thought they did something, but the reason why I drink them now is because I like the brand I use. So I've always used them during, quote, my fasted cardio. And I know someone's going to say, hey, you're not fasting. It's never affected my ability to lose fat. Never. Mm-hmm. I've never seen that. You know, so my answer to this is I'm not 100% sure, but I think injecting it probably, and even the caloric, it's got to be minimal at best. I mean, I doubt it's going to affect his – what he's asking, is it going to affect his fat burning, I believe. And my answer is I don't think so. I mean, I don't have the perfect answer for that though.
Yeah. So will it break a fast even though you were injected? Here, okay, so
– that's what I mean. Yeah, yeah, I think that's what he's saying. I'm not – I don't know.
I don't – I just – you know, it's going to be so minute. An injectable amount, I can't imagine that it's even more than 500 milligrams at the most. You know what I mean?
Right.
Even that's pushing it in a 1 milliliter blend, you know?
Yeah.
So
I like that though. I wonder where he gets that. I'd like to try that for my patients, in quotes.
You know, I've actually heard good things. So surprisingly, I mean, mm-hmm. And this is all anecdotal stuff. And because my wife works at Youthology, which is like a you know, it's like a youth enhancement type clinic. You know, they do a lot of facials, they do a lot of injectable cosmetic stuff, you know, and one thing that they do is this, you know, blend of vitamins and minerals and stuff. And patients come back and they want more, you know, they're like, I had energy for 3 days, you know?
Yeah. Kind of thing. I mean, I'd like to you know? Investigate that. It sounds really healthy to me. I mean, you're getting it right in there. You're not going to lose anything by, you know, breakdown processes that happens with everything that goes through the gut, you know.
And, right. It doesn't go through, you know, your stomach and duodenum. So here's the deal, though. So isoleucine, valine, and leucine will still, once it hits that bloodstream, it's going to still go everywhere. And eventually it will get to the liver. And the liver is, you know, where the process is for breaking down leucine, isoleucine, valine to glucose will happen. You know what I mean? If your body needs the glucose, which probably if it's fasted, that it will. It'll break it down, you know, immediately as soon as it hits the liver. So, but it's such a small amount. You know, I can't imagine it causing it. Okay. Here's what we know about insulin. Once insulin is released, even in the most minute fraction of insulin, you know, once that's released, GH ceases to exist in the bloodstream. They cannot be in that same environment in a balanced environment. I'm not talking about injectable GH. I'm talking about, you know, your
endogenous
amount. So once even a fraction of insulin hits that bloodstream, GH is voided. And, you know, that's kind of what you look for doing. Like when you are in a fasted state, you kind of want, you know, you want growth hormone to be obviously higher or enough to be releasing some of those free fatty acids, you know, devoid of any insulin in the area. So, you know, any amount of glucose can stimulate some sort of, you know, insulinogenic response.
Right.
But here's the, I guess, you know, that's one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is you're doing cardio and you've got, you know, you're obviously you're moving. Once that glucose is turned over, even if it's a fraction, it gets used immediately. So so it puts you right back into a fasted state. You know what I mean? So it's
going to be negligible at best.
So it is. So technically, yes, it'll break the fast, I guess, but it's completely it's a non-factor. If this is what you know keeps you up at night, you know, this is not, you know, this is you're insane. You know what I mean?
So yeah.
I wouldn't worry about the minutia of that, you know?
So the interesting thing to his – he has a second question, which I think is actually more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And it really turns this one into like, oh, maybe he's doing – so what's the second part?
So
I have some thoughts about
yes,
that.
Yes, I do like this. This is funny. Will the carnitine still serve as a fat transporter if there is an insulin response? So see, that's where it gets interesting.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. You're taking this injectable blend of amino acids and some other things and L-carnitine, and he's thinking, should it will break the fast? And I'm thinking he's worried about an insulin response, glucose going up. So he wants to do it fasting so he gets more out of fat burning. Well, here's the thing. In your first part of your question, I think the response to the insulin spike, the glucose, the caloric value of those amino acids is going to be negligible. However, carnitine actually works better with an insulin response as opposed to not. So he's saying, will the carnitine still serve as a fat transporter if there is an insulin response? Yes, because it'll actually work better.
Mm-hmm. Even though it'll be a super tiny insulin response. So that means it'll be a super tiny carnitine response too, you know, and it'll be like within minutes. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But yeah. You know, L-carnitine from my reading and understanding, it actually even taking minute doses of exogenous insulin with your L-carnitine will actually help it transport to the muscle cells better and get those fatty acids into the mitochondria to burn that stuff. So if his branch chains are causing a little bit of an insulin spike, his L-carnitine might work better is what I'm saying. So that's the interesting part. So he may be fine. He may be doing things better than he thinks because the L-carnitine is going to work better if he has a little bit of insulin in the environment.
Yeah. So, I mean, so if he's worried about, if his overall goal is burning fat, this little concoction could potentially help you still.
That's the end of the question. Yeah. That's the end of it. Yeah. It sounds like a good blend of things that are going to help you whether you're doing fasting or not. Yeah. And it's not going to affect your fat burning.
No. Yeah. So
I actually like it.
It's good. It's a good thought process too. I like that, you know? So,
yeah, I just thought it was insulin. I thought it was interesting that he was worried about the carnitine not working if there was an insulin response. In fact, if there is an insulin response, it will improve the L-carnitine a function or whatever you want to say. You know what I mean? Yeah. At least that's my understanding.
Yep. Oh, yep. He was thinking the right way too. You know, yep. As minute as it would be, it would still be in the positive as far as fat burning goes.
Do it the way you're doing it. That sounds good.
Yeah. Next question here from the boards. Due to my insurance trying to screw me over and trying to charge me $150 for 1 month's worth of TRT injections. Oh, yikes. I may have to go back to Androgel. If I were to go back to the gel, would using gel at 3 pumps all in the morning or 1 pump spread out 3 times throughout the day be more beneficial for more consistent levels / workout performance? What do you think, Doc?
I got two thoughts about this, and I want to help this guy out. And maybe he already knows, maybe he hasn't looked. But his first part of his question about his insurance charging him $150 a month for 1 month of TRT, I suggest you go on the GoodRx app on your iPhone, put in testosterone cypionate, and you're going to find that you can get a 1 milliliter vial for about maybe $20-some. You can get your test way cheaper with a coupon, like out of pocket, than you could for what your insurance wants to charge you if you have a prescription. So the GoodRx app, use that. See if you can find a discount from a pharmacy in your area. Go to that pharmacy with your prescription. Show them that Good app. They'll give you a code for a special price on whatever the product is. And I bet you can get your generic testosterone cypionate way cheaper than what your insurance wants to charge you for out of pocket. So I just wanted him to, in the case he doesn't know about that good RX app really does have some decent, pricing on there. So that's something you should look into, you know, if you want to continue with your injections. Anyway, 1 pump spread out 3 times a day. I guess theoretically it would probably keep your levels more stable, right? But in life, that's going to be a pain in the messy ass. Just do if you're going to use the gel, if you can do it 3 times a day, spread them out, I guess that's going to be better. It'll keep levels more, hypothetically more sort of steady. Mm-hmm. But man, I don't want to run to the bathroom every 3 times a day worrying about putting my gel on. If you have a job and I couldn't even do that. It would totally screw me all up. I'd be all over the place. So I guess theoretically it would be beneficial, but practically probably not really that beneficial.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's what I was thinking.
So, I mean, he's got the script. So if he's got the script, he can just go to the app. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, no, yeah. If you download that GoodRx app and he just types in testosterone, I'm going to assume cypionate, since that's the most prescribed, you know, prescription test in this country. Yeah. You know, it'll give him like, it's like a discount app. You know, he'll have, you could see on there. I just typed it in on my phone. I'll do it again. I'm going to put testosterone, sipping a generic, and it's loading. And let's go to 10 milliliter of 200 milligrams per milliliter. I put my town in there, click on that, and I'll give you the prices it shows me for out-of-pocket expense or a coupon to knock off the price of the thing. It's loading. Yeah. So, yeah, that it actually gives you like – and then you – so around here I can get a 10 milliliter test sip vial with a prescription from the Walgreens 1.9 miles from my house for $45.11.
Boom. There you go.
Now you click on that. And then it's going to give you what looks like a card, and it says, show this to the pharmacist. It's going to have a member ID, an RX group number, an RX bin, blah, blah, blah. You show that to the pharmacist once you turn in your prescription, and they're going to give you the discounted price. It gave me 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 pharmacies. The highest price on here is the Kmart, which is 10 miles from me, one 10 milliliter vial of 200 milligram sip would be $95.50 at that Kmart, or $45 at the Walgreens, or $52.64 at Rite Aid. It's 3 miles away. So that's, dude, you got to try that. That's
fucking awesome. That's fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
so
a cool app.
You know, I just don't think, look, Androgel is just shit. Okay. It's like,
yeah,
it's virtually, even if you try to spread it out through the day, your hormone levels, if that's what you're depending on for a replacement, your hormone levels are still going to be all whacked, man. There's just too much up and down roller coaster, you know. You can't depend on Androgel for having a stable blood levels.
That's my point. I mean, it may make it more stable, but it's still going to be all over the place. And so on. So not practical. I mean, if you wanted to keep it, you'd have to do it, let's say 8 a.m., then maybe every Q6, do 8, then 2, then maybe 8.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to run, you got to keep it with you, or you got to run to the bathroom.
So there, so definitely the answer for this question altogether is get the RX app.
Check that out, man.
Fuck Androgel. That sucks. Yeah.
And even if they don't have one with a discount price, they'll actually have a coupon. So for him, let's say it's $150, right? They might have a coupon that's like $75, and you give it to him, so he'd get it for $75, I think, something like that. But most of it's a price. You just go in there, boom, that's the price on the app. That's the price they'll do at the pharmacy.
Yeah.
It's a really cool thing. And I've been telling patients about it for a little while, but actually I learned about it from, I think, one of our listeners.
Or
someone on the board one time, you know?
Sweet. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Crazy.
Yeah, man. Let me tell
just
you.
Shows you what a fucking ripoff insurance company
is. Oh, absolutely. Fuck them.
And how high prescription, the markup for prescription drugs are in our country is fucking ridiculous.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And shit, I don't think Androgel is very cheap either. You know what I mean? So unless you can get it, I'm pretty sure a bottle of sip is cheaper than a bottle of Androgel.
Yeah. But see, again, those are your insurance fucks, you know?
Yeah.
His insurance company probably will pay a tier one pay for Androgel with a tier one copay, which for most people, let's say anywhere from $10 to $20 to $30, but they probably consider injectable testosterone probably a tier three, which sounds like for him $150. You know, it's just the way they are is crazy.
It's insanity is what it is. But let me tell you what all Androgel is good for. Okay. So if you're already on hormone replacement therapy, if you're on testosterone replacement therapy at like 200 milligrams a week and you have a spare bottle of Androgel hanging around, pre-workout Androgel. That's all it's good for. So it's like using D-ball, but instead of, you know, taxing your liver, it goes right through the skin there, and it's
You're gonna have people buying Androgel for pre workout now.
That's it. That's all pre workout Androgel. I'm telling you right now, that's all it's good for. Otherwise, you cannot depend on that for a stable blood levels. You'll be all over the place. You'll be all fucked up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like a topical suspension.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. If there was anything faster than suspension, you know, it would be it'd be topical Androgel. There he goes, right in there. Next question from the boards here. Sup, guys? Huge fan of the show. So I have had two testosterone level checks and a semen analysis done because I'm trying to start a family before exiting the military. The first test was taken around noon with a number of 380. Second test came back around 417, so not much difference there. Semen analysis came back with a count of 11. Is that for real? 11? 11,
yeah.
With the test stating it should be around 260. Oh, okay, so that's a range. I thought 11 out of, like, you know, like
160 million.
Yeah, 160 million. Yeah, so 11, stating it would be around 20. So the average on the scale they're using is 20 to 160. So 11 is still
right.
Pretty low. I've been referred to a urologist, and she is referring me to a local fertility clinic. The clinic wants to do another test level check and semen analysis. The urologist said I might have varicocele. Which is basically, varicose veinage going in your testicles.
Yeah,
we can
go over that real quick.
But, you know, I mean, that's all it is, varicose veining.
A varicocele is, and a lot of people have them, and it actually plays into his problem, I believe, more than his testosterone, but we'll answer that in a second. So a varicocele is basically, guys will have varicose veins in their epididymis area, mm-hmm. right on top of your scrotum. You could feel, if you have one, you would feel right on top of your testicle. It would feel like described as a bag of worms.
Mm-hmm. Wavy, real wavy, yeah.
Wavy, thick vessels that in some people could affect fertility in the long run. Mm-hmm. So anyway, keep going.
That's what varicocele is. So for all the listeners here, I'd rather they prescribe me gear, AIs, or even HCG, specifically before undergoing varicocele repair surgery. Is there anything I can do either lower numbers to where they would be inclined to prescribe TRT or some kind of cycle support meds? Not the most honest way to get free shit, but I'd love to low in my records before exiting the service. Any help would be great. Keep kicking ass. Thanks again. Huh. Okay.
All right. So let's go back to this. First of all, his numbers, even though, you know, we might say, yep, they're low, mm-hmm. you know, but to be honest, in his urologist and his fertility doctor are probably going to say that's pretty normal still, mm-hmm. even if we disagree, we can agree, you know, that's what they're going to say.
Yep.
He's going to have a hard time getting them to, you know, give him, you know, prescribe him some replacement because the numbers are higher than they're going to like. And honestly, it's so he wants to, his thinking is we got to get the test levels up in order to get fertile.
I don't think so.
That's what it sounds, you know, I'm just, you know, that's what it sounds like based on the whole scenario. His big problem, honestly, if he has that semen analysis and that's his number, his problem isn't going to be his testosterone production. It's going to be that varicocele. What happens is not only does the varicocele disrupt the number of semen that's made, it actually disrupts the morphology of them. It hurts them. In other words, I can't see. You know, mm-hmm. It's like things going through a twisty cave that shouldn't be there, and they get little pieces ripped off and things like that. So they come out, not right. You know?
They come out all fucked up, missing parts.
Yeah, it's like bumping through a track that shouldn't be there.
Yeah,
and that's the problem with those things, and that's why we like to identify them early. With people, if we can, you know, if I see a young boy who has a pretty good sized varicocele, I'll send them to a pediatric urologist to get that checked to make sure they don't think they should fix it early so that it later in life. Now, most of the time, to be honest, they don't. They'll just monitor them, maybe do serial ultrasounds, things like that. But first of all, he said they think he has one, so he needs to get an ultrasound to see if he really has one or not. But if he does, honestly, his fix is going to be getting that varicocele fix probably to get fertility, because I don't think they're going to think that his testosterone level being that low is good. Now, they may end up going with something like Clomid to bump him up some to help with his semen sort of production first and all that good stuff.
Yeah, urologists fucking love Clomid.
Yeah, but I mean, I think, man, I know you're thinking the opposite. I think he really needs to make sure that varicocele is not the problem first, because, mm-hmm. and long story short is, his numbers are borderline, I guess. I mean, we would all like to see him higher, obviously, right? I mean,
well, yeah. For Bible, but you know, if this is,
but
you know,
the medical practices, they're not.
No, not at all. They'll look at those numbers. They won't even bat an eye at it. They're not going to bat an eye at you know, a 400 level testosterone. There's hundreds of millions of men in that range that have produced all kinds of kids. So that testosterone is not an issue. I would be shocked if that would have any impact at all, really, because, you know, varicocele, as long as you do have them, because he didn't say whether he had them or not. All he said is
they think he might.
I might have them and I might have surgery. So I don't know how a urologist could miss something like that. All you have to do is palpate and they'd be like, ah, yeah, there you go.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know how she could say, or they could say, oh, you might have varicocele. It's like, what the fuck, man? Are this there or not? You can feel that shit, you know?
Yep. Yep. Now he's asking, is there anything he can do? This is a first for our show, I think. Is there anything he can do to lower his testosterone numbers?
Yes.
I mean, I think I'm going to let you help him out with that. I can't really, you know, condone people fudging labs. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I could definitely tell him some things to do for that, but I think you would say the same thing. I'm going to see what your thoughts are on this first.
I would start using some D-ball right now. And then whenever your test is
is for educational and entertainment purposes only. We do not condone this type of activity.
You put a disclaimer out there. Yeah. Disclaimer.
Yeah, yeah. Disclaimer. But truth be told, go ahead, Beez. I think your thought, yeah.
Yeah, but truth be told, if this were a true scenario and someone were to want to lower their testosterone levels, you know, on paper, you find out when your test is, I would start, you know, say you had like, you know, 3 weeks before you take your test, I would start pounding some D-ball now. Not pounding. You could do like 25 milligrams or so of D-ball a day. You're going to feel fucking awesome for, you know, 3 weeks or so.
The doctor has checked out of the show. He will return in a minute. This is the VJ segment only.
you'll feel awesome for about 2 weeks and then you'll realize, oh man, it's starting to feel like shit. Why? You're aromatizing very heavily. Your estrogen goes up because your estrogen is through the roof now because of the D-ball aromatizing. Your testosterone crashes, and it won't pick back up because you're still on the D-ball, and that, you know, you've disrupted your feedback system with so much estrogen in the system. Your testosterone output, natural testosterone output, goes to shit. So, and it'll stay like that for a few days. So when just time it, you got to time it right. You can just stop the D-ball, you know, a day or two before your exam and you'll be all fucked up. Yeah.
Hey, V, jump back. What were you talking about?
I don't know. I went off the chat. I don't even know what I said. I don't even know what I said. I just kind of checked out there for a second. And everything went black. I remember something about D-ball and that's the end of it.
Oh, yeah. Well, what's that? So anyway, he should get that varicocele fixed. His testosterone levels are fine. And Hope V helped you out on that.
I don't even know what you mean. I don't know. I don't even know what the question was.
I had to leave the show for a minute. I couldn't hear that. It's like,
next question here from the boards here. Hey guys, last episode was great. Oh, wait, cool. I'm glad. Maybe he liked the fiber talk. I don't know. He said, what do you think about growing muscle?
Shit, I had better poops just since we talked about fiber.
Hell yeah.
He's like, hell yeah.
Between the weed and the fiber, I'm as regular as can be. he says, what do you think about growing muscle and losing fat at the same time, possible or not? Heard a lot of people saying that you must stay in a caloric surplus to gain muscle. That's his one question. Okay, here's the rest of it. He says, personally, I feel you can, because this cut/diet, I have been gaining a lot of strength and looking in the mirror, I'm definitely getting leaner. Meanwhile, losing weight. Weight is coming off very slowly, but I just started my diet, so I'm not in a huge caloric deficit. Lost around 8 to 10 pounds so far. Look, I'm going to tell you right now that you can absolutely gain muscle and lose fat at the same time. Your body is doing it all day long anyways, you know. Your body is going through cascades of event, man, where protein synthesis goes really high and then, you know, it shuts off and body fat starts, you know, being used as fuel depending on diet. You get that event that's like a ebb and flow throughout the day anyways, you know. So, I mean, if you just take a snapshot in time, you'll see that, you know, your protein turnover, your protein synthesis, you know, that's happening all the time. Now, I see what he's saying, and I can tell you that you absolutely can lose fat while putting on muscle, at least for a little while. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I totally believe that. I mean, for me, every time I diet, I feel like, you know, I feel like I'm getting leaner and bigger at the same time. And I think one of the big things too is you're putting your body in general when you're dieting or whatever, you're putting your body in sort of an optimal, you know, metabolic, anabolic environment to grow and burn fat. So I totally agree with that too. Is it easy? No. And genetics also play a role.
Like, yes.
There's a lot of people out there who probably can't do it unless everything is perfect. But I totally agree with you, man. I think it's definitely possible. And I think a lot of people, even when they diet for shows, you see that all the time. You look at the pictures and you're like, this dude, he may weigh less, but he's got way more muscle and less fat. How do you do that? Now, whether, you know, it's per diet controlled or whether we're talking about whatever, you know, drugs are in the environment or in anabolics or supplements, it's all there. I mean, and when you do that, I agree with you. I mean, I think you need to have food, but it needs to be a perfect sort of scenario. And that's when you really see it. I guess when you talk about like recomping, I think that's
the point, man. Recomping. When you recomp,
that's when you're doing that.
That is essentially, you know, shifting your lean mass into a higher percentage and lowering your fat mass to a lower percentage. That's recomping. That's what it is. And everyone goes through that, you know, at least for a period of time. You know,
I mean, yeah, this is one of the things I always hear. You know, you got to eat, and you know what? I think you do, but I think it comes back to really what you're eating too. When you're really trying to get in shape, think about what you do. Everything is, well, at least for sort of us, like somebody who really takes it seriously, everything you're sort of doing is perfect. Like for me, I cut out everything, you know, like I wouldn't even think about having a drink, or I wouldn't even think about eating, you know, a piece of cake like I'm going to today if I feel like it. And you get harder, leaner, bigger, even if the scale weight's not changing or changing. How's that possible to stay the same weight? I've seen this in myself. I will start a diet and be only like 10, 15 pounds up. I will get to a certain weight, and every week the weight's not changing, but I'm looking in the mirror going, damn, shit's changed, because you're getting leaner and building muscle at the same time. So I totally agree with you on that. I think,
yeah, no, it for sure happens. I've seen it hundreds of times. I my own body does it, you know,
that's what I'm saying. You know, personal, it's like experience. I've seen it happen.
Yeah. I mean, I do, I don't have the best metabolism in the world, but I can still do this. You know, I can still grow on minimal calories, man. You know, Luke Sandow said the same thing. You know, he starts recomping like a motherfucker on like hardly anything at all, any food at all, you know, on like 1800 calories. And Luke is like a 270 pound bodybuilder, you know? So, yeah. I mean, it absolutely can happen, and it does happen. It's just for how long and to what degree. Now, here's the flip side of it. He said, heard a lot of people saying you must stay in a caloric surplus to gain muscle. No, absolutely not. You cannot stay in a caloric surplus very long, because eventually you will get insulin desensitized, and all you're going to get from your caloric surplus is more body fat. You're not going to put on any more muscle, because you've destroyed your insulin response, which is responsible for shuttling nutrients to the muscle cell instead of the fat cell. If you desensitize those receptors, guess what? All that insulin is carrying all that nutrition to your fat cells. So, you know, I mean, I'm dumbing it down much, but that's the end game I'm talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly. And we were talking about this when I was dieting, going through. I was looking really good, super lean. And towards the end of my diet, when I went to Florida, the beginning of summer and all that stuff, where I started to loosen it up a little bit, we were talking about sort of riding a wave as long as it would last.
Yes, yes, exactly.
My wave has crashed.
It will.
It will catch up to you eventually.
It can't be undulating forever, man. It's got to have an end game, you know?
No. Your body, you know, it's going to catch up to you. But the answer to his question is, we agree, man. I mean, I'm not a guru, expert, nutrition bodybuilder, but I think it's totally possible, because I've seen even my little horrible shit fat genetics that have done it, and I've seen so many other people do it. You're like, how do you look bigger and you're eating less? Mm-hmm. There must be something, you know, and look, you got all them other things involved too, but – the fact is, it's definitely possible.
Yep, Yeah, for sure. 100%. And I don't, you know, I don't agree with, I hate it when people are always staying in a caloric surplus. It's a horrible idea. And I've not once ever seen it. Look, I shouldn't say not once because there are some genetic freaks out there, but I will say for the majority, and I'll say 98%, maybe 99% of people that stay in a caloric surplus always just end up getting fatter, unhealthier, not as strong. You know, it's like their body just ends up falling apart. You know, it's like, you know, it's just,
why are you making fun of me?
Not you personally. I'm just, you know, I'm gonna say, yeah, just in general. And if you have the last name Ogden, that's usually what happens.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly what happens. speaking of that, you know, okay, so you know what's hilarious? I think we talked about this before, is that I've been eating. Yeah, this is a quote from my wife. I told her what we were going, we were in the middle of the day, and she was like, I'm hungry, we got to eat. And I'm like, yeah, all right. And then she's like, God, I don't eat this today. And I'm like, oh yeah. And I listed everything I ate, and it was only like 12 o'clock in the afternoon. She's like, you really fucking ate that much today? And even I was like, Jesus, that's a lot of shit. And what's funny is we were talking, remember yesterday, me and Scott were texting back in the morning, and we were looking at his pictures and stuff.
Yeah.
And I said my weight was 218, like in the midday, like, you know, after some food, and like 214.9 in the morning now.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, I'm shocked it's not worse.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm eating like crazy. So, you know, I guess I still do the cardio, and honestly, I'm not doing as much. I'm probably doing 30 minutes 4 days a week now, at the most. And but we've been more active with running the kids here and there. But honestly, as much as I've been eating, I think I did, you know, this last, I stayed on that, you know, the cut or whatever you want to call it, my diet, you know, a little bit longer than I ever have, really, to be honest with you. And I think that really helped to get the metabolism is slowly going away.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean,
enough helpful to keep me from going to 240 of fat with all the shit I've been doing. You know what I'm saying?
It's because you built your crest up so high. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you,
exactly.
So you took your metabolism up so high that you're still kind of riding the it's coming to the end of the wave, but it's still in a better place now than it might have been last year. You see what I'm saying?
I'm hoping the tail end of it crashes completely on October 31st, because then on November I'll probably start dieting again.
Yeah, well, yeah, probably. That's usually what happens.
After summer's over, I got to cut it all off. I'm already feeling like, ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost like you don't want to eat because you're tired of food.
That's no good. That's
weird.
No good.
That's so weird.
And that's metabolically, that's not a good thing either. When you start not being hungry for stuff, then you know that, hey, whoa, I need to really cut back. You need to always be hungry for something. You know,
exactly.
What once you are, that means your hunger hormones are doing well, leptin levels are all good, you know, your ghrelin's working like it should, your insulin response is perfect, you know what I mean? So, mm-hmm. Yeah, once you stop getting hungry and you don't feel like eating anymore, you got problems, and that is so true
because I know when the diet has kicked in, I know exactly, because I know when I'm starting to look at the clock.
Yeah, yeah. See,
that's when you know you're burning fat. Yeah, how do you know? I know because I'm looking at that fucking clock going, come on, 11. Come on, 1. You know, yeah. Every 2 hours, you're like, come on.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
now yeah. I'm like, what did I have this morning? You know, I'd be dying right now. Only thing I did, I got off the treadmill. You said, I'm ready to roll. I ran downstairs. I threw 2 scoops of protein in my, sucked it down, and I'm not even hungry right now. That's unusual for me.
Yeah, see? Yeah. So I've been. Yeah, man.
Anyway.
So, yeah. But I mean, look, here's the last point I'm going to make about that. And then we can move on to the next question, is that the leaner you are, the better you are able to accept the foods and then assimilate those foods at a higher percentage. Most people only, you know, assimilate what, like 5% of food stuff, you know?
Yep.
I mean, it's something ridiculously low, which means you're you're shitting out most of whatever you're eating, you know what I mean? And that's not great. You know, the leaner you are, that percentage raises significantly. You could be assimilating 10 to 15 to 20, even 25% of the food stuff. And when you are assimilating and turn over that food stuff, you're creating less waste. Do you notice that when you're dieting, you shit less?
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. I shit less and fart more.
Yeah. See, you're producing less waste, at least solid.
All the fiber.
Maybe producing more methane. But you know, your waste is less. Your food assimilation is greater. The processes of your body are just clicking like they absolutely should, and maximally taking advantage of the food stuff, using body fat, maintaining muscle, building muscle. all of those systems are just a go at the same time. And that can only happen if you're very lean, you know what I mean? Or at least a lot leaner than you normally are, you know?
Exactly.
So, yeah, you can absolutely grow muscle and lose fat at the same time. Next question here, Doc. I was thinking about donating plasma to my to supplement my income. I'm a natural athlete, so I should not have problems being able to do it. I was wondering if donating plasma has any negative effects on my muscle growth or overall health.
I can't say I'm the world's foremost expert on plasma donation. You know, I'm just always putting that out there about what I know and what I don't know. And everyone who listens to the show know I've always said that. Yeah, I guess, you know, thinking of it logically, the answer is I don't think so, man. Listen, the only thing you might have to do is really, you know, I would say stay well hydrated. Yeah. You want to have your nutrition on point. You might want to do it on a day where you're resting, you know, because you might leave there. You might feel a little weak. You might be a little bit tired. You may be a little bit drier. And I guess if you went to the gym right after that, yeah, maybe it wouldn't be optimal. But overall, man, I would say no. I would say you're doing a healthy thing. I mean, I'm not really sure why he's just choosing plasma and not just donating blood, but he's a natural athlete. So I guess, you know, that doesn't matter, you know, cause you know, most, you know, enhanced people would want to donate blood, you know,
right.
to lower their hemoglobin. But anyway, I don't know all the ins and outs of plasma donation, but I can't see, except for those minor sort of short-term effects, dehydration, maybe a bit of weakness, maybe, you know, even if that happens, I don't know. But what I'm saying is, I would say as long as you're well hydrated, your nutrition's on point, maybe you want to do it on a day of resting so you can really let your body sort of, you know, get back into its normal routine before you go train. I think you'll be fine. I mean, I've never done plasma donation, so I haven't felt what it feels like to do that, but I've given blood and stuff. And I mean, I know you can feel a little, I really haven't had too many problems, but weakness and stuff like that. But anyway, what's your thoughts? Yeah. Maybe I don't know much about plasma donation, except that it's good to help us. You know what I mean? It's good to help the sort of everyone.
Yeah. So, I mean, for the listeners, he's talking about plasma. He's not talking about blood. In blood, you have your red blood cells and you have your plasma. Your red blood cells is technically the connective tissue of your blood. Right. And the plasma is the liquid portion, essentially just water. It's water based.
Exactly.
So he's donating his plasma. So you know, for the most part, I agree with you, Doc. The only thing I can say is that I guess it depends how often he's donating plasma.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. If he's going once a day.
So that's, you know, what if you as a natural athlete, if you're in a chronically dehydrated state. Yes, that will impact muscle growth and overall health. That's, you know, that's a given, especially considering you are a natural athlete, you know, so you're already kind of at a disadvantage, you know?
I mean, I could see how it could affect pumps, mm-hmm. blood flow, you know, because you're lowering your volume, your blood volume, basically.
Yeah, your blood volume goes down. You're
taking away the liquid.
Yeah, you take away the liquid and a lot of the processes start to slow down. You know what I mean? So if they're chronically slowed down, then yeah, it can impact over time. You know, your muscle growth for sure, overall health for sure. The key here is just to stay hydrated, like the doc says. You know, I mean, I think it's pretty minimal as long as you're not going every day or whatever.
I didn't even think about that. I mean, I'm assuming he's going like every 8 weeks, maybe, or something.
I don't know, man. You don't know.
You never know. No,
with plasma, people can get crazy, man. They'll start going like, you know, twice a day or something. They'll pay for it. You know, I guess there's a limit, but.
Don't go every day. Then I take back what I said.
Then it's very unhealthy. Assuming,
you know, a few times a year, you know.
Yeah.
But if you're using that as your source of income,
he's saying supplement my income. So I'd imagine he's maybe a couple times a week, maybe, or something. I don't know. But all I can tell you is if you're chronically dehydrated, that'll absolutely help you. Not help you, but negatively impact your muscle growth and overall health. So, I guess it depends. But if the doc says, you know, if you once every few weeks, or it's not gonna hurt. It's not gonna do anything.
Yeah, every few weeks on a rest day, hydrate up the night before. Make sure you're mm-hmm. really, really volume sort of full. You know, nutrition's on point. I don't see that being as he's going every day, which I'd never even pondered, by the way. I was like, yeah, that thing until you said, I was like, oh, well, yeah, I guess that would fuck you up if you did that.
Yeah. But who knows?
Go get sperm every day. You'd probably be fine with that.
You should be, as a young natural athlete, you should be pumping out all kinds of sperm. Wait, we don't know if this is a guy or a girl though.
Who
is
true? See, there you go. That's the anonymous things about the boy.
You can don't if you hey, if you're a girl, you can donate eggs. You get big money for eggs, don't you?
Shit, really? I might have to go make Chrissy give some eggs up.
There you go. I think
hers are getting old.
That's okay. She got good genetics though, right? She got those skinny genetics where you can eat wherever you want. People want that shit, you know.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah,
lucky as hell.
So, that's it for questions from the forum at the Advices Radio Network. If you have any questions, like we said, forum.advicesradio.com. You can submit your questions there. We are excited to answer all questions that come on there. Of course, you know, if you want some anonymity, you can always use clinicalmuscle@gmail.com. That always works. But, man, this works so much better.
Yeah. Man. Yeah, do that. I like the boards. I love the questions on the boards. I'm obviously checking the email. So if you got something you don't want. But, man, yeah, it works so much better. We just pull them up and boom, there you go. And you know what? We want everybody to come to the boards and, you know, help it grow. We think it's a good thing. And Mr. McNally's working hard on it. And, you know, you can post questions on the boards too. I mean, if you know, in other parts of the forum, I go through and try to see things and see if there's anyone on there putting anything medical-wise that I could help them with. But most people know to put it under the podcast. Any of the podcasts really could answer these kind of questions, but we like you to put them under Clinical Muscle because we think we have the best C grade answers on the boards.
Yes, by far. Yeah,
everyone else will give you an A grade, but if you want a C grade,
if you want top quality C grade, man, this is the place to come to. I guarantee.
We are the Walmart of medicine.
We are like triple A C level.
it's all good. It's all good. Yeah.
So, Doc, I'm gonna have to cut short and get to training. I think my wife gets home right around maybe 1 p.m. or 2 p.m., which means I gotta clean the fucking house, you know, and make sure.
You gotta act like you've been busy.
Yeah, right. I gotta act like all the dishes need to be put away and stuff. You know, I don't want to hear it when she gets home. You know, so.
Sounds good, man. I'm gonna be. I gotta go to the gym. Go grab some. Meal food for work the next 2 days, and I gotta record with them guys at 4 o'clock.
Look at you podcasting all day long.
I have no idea. I'm gonna do it.
Well, I'm looking forward to that, man. I'm looking forward to listening to that. It'll be fun.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I'm like, okay, let's do this. You know, it should be good though, because me and Colt at the Arnold sort of got to know each other pretty good. He's a good dude.
They both seem like super good dudes. You know.
So. Yeah. So it'll be fun.
Yeah. So if you're interested, their show is it's Cerebral Entertainment Podcast. Is that what it is?
Yes, sir.
And I think that's just you can go on YouTube and check out Cerebral Entertainment Podcast. Or I don't know if they have a site or anything right now, but you can definitely go on YouTube to listen to some of those shows. Not necessarily a bodybuilding podcast, but they're kind of talk about all things life related. And they're a couple of good dudes. So if you want to check out their show, cool. That's where you'll find them. But Doc, for now, I got to get moving. You've got a long day of podcasting and all kinds of eating cake and all kinds of fun stuff to do.
Yep.
But on that note, man, the doctors are out.
See you guys.